Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Let's begin in verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse. This is talking about the new heaven and new earth. There should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, I read, there's four verses that I read, or that I know about, in the book of Revelation. It talks about the 144,000, and we as servants having God's name written in our foreheads. I take that very literally. By the way, what's wrong with that? It'd be an identify. There will be no denying, whether it's during the tribulation period or forever and forever, that we belong to Him. We belong to Him. He purchased us. You know, I was out somewhere the other day, and I won't go too much. Okay, I went turkey hunting. I'm going to leave it at that. Saw a bunch of turkeys, but I couldn't get them close enough to shoot a turkey. But anyway, I had a good time. And I noticed those cows out there all had marks on them. A bunch of them had brands on them. What did that mean? Those brands mean that they belong to the owner. There's no mistaking who these cattle belong to. Now, I'm not comparing us to cattle. I'm just saying I take these things very literally when it says his name shall be in their forehead. I see no reason to spiritualize this. During the tribulation, literally, I believe that the mark of the beast will be a literal mark. It will not be a computer chip. A lot of people believe it'll be a computer chip placed in their forehead or under their hand and somewhere that when you go to Publix or whatever, you just go beep over those scanners, you know, beep. You just when you pay for your food or whatever. But the problem with that is during the tribulation period, mostly the second half of the tribulation period when these marks are given out, God tells us that this world will be turned upside down. He's going to shake this world. They won't be having power. They won't be having the modern conveniences that you have today. So how will you identify? How will you be able to buy and sell that it's going to be a literal mark? It's going to be foolproof. Now, let me mention this, and then we'll move on. I believe it's going to be some kind of a tattoo. Again, it's just my personal opinion. Again, opinions are like armpits. Everybody got two, and they both stink. But this is my opinion, that there'd be a tattoo. I'm going to say this and move on. Seems like almost everybody and their brother's getting tattoos today, okay? You know, just it's a thing. So, as a matter of fact, I saw somebody just 2 days ago. It was Friday. He was covered from his neck, all in his you know, where it was covered in tattoos. Well, I believe the Antichrist is going to use that and just tattoo somebody right there in the forehead and be it obvious or in their hand. And I said all that to say this here in Revelation chapter number 14. I take this literally. His name's going to be in their forehead. So we see them standing with Christ. I want to move on from here. Standing with Christ in verse number 1. Then I love this in verses number 2 and 3. You see them singing before Christ. They're standing with Christ and they're singing before Christ. And my, what a choir that's going to be. We're going to have our cantata today, our church choir, and they've worked hard and all. And as well as that's going to be, it's going to sound nothing like these 144,000. What a choir, 144,000. They're singing a song. What great music and what great singing. And matter of fact, we're going to be singing and praising God forever. Now, we won't be part of this song, but this one here. But we are going to be in a choir. We're going to be singing, and we showed verses in there. We're going to be singing and praises God forever and ever. I believe that. So if some of you who have voices to sing, you ought to start using them for the Lord. Some of you who don't have voices to sing, don't worry about it. God will give you a voice to sing, all right? But you're going to be singing forever and ever. But these 144,000 will be singing anew, the Bible tells us, a new song, one that had never been sung anew. Has never been sung before the throne of God, before the four beasts, before the elders, and no man can learn that song but the 144 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. I am sure it has something to do about being redeemed from the earth. And the reason they could sing this song like nobody else could sing this song, because there's going to be something special about these men, and we're going to look at it here in just the next verse or so, that nobody else can lay a claim to. That's why they can sing a song nobody else could sing. I want you to get that in your head before we go a little farther. The Bible says they sing a new song that only they can sing it. Why? Well, verse number 4 tells us the word redeemed. In verse number 3, they were bought, redeemed. We're all, matter of fact, we've all been redeemed as the children of God. Let me put this plug in. From the time of Adam to the last person who ever will be redeemed, we've all been saved the same way. Faith in Jesus Christ. God's plan has never changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, even in the tribulation period. It will never change. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Well, these men sang a new song that only they could sing. Singing before Christ. In the verse number 4 and 5, that's where I want to spend the rest of my time. These are separated unto Christ. They are different than anybody else that's ever walked on this earth. Okay? They're separated unto Christ. Verse number 4. Let's read verses 4 and 5. These are they, talking about the 144,000. Again, I take this very literally. Which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, I read a few commentaries again this week. And that's why somebody asked me a week or so ago. Matter of fact, they are gone now. One of our snowbirds, and they left. And they said, "Brother, what commentary do you use to get your information from?" Well, I didn't give him the name of that commentary because there's some things in that commentary I don't quite agree with. Because I told you what commentators are. They're just commentators who puts their thoughts of what that verse means. And many commentaries would try to spiritualize this. Matter of fact, a lot of them would spiritualize this about these 144,000 being virgins. It talks about them. They're not serving false idols. They're not committing spiritual adultery. You're following? And because they're not committing spiritual adultery, well, they are virgins. Well, that's so great application. But I take it very literally that they are men, the Bible says, which were not defiled with women. Nothing wrong with marriage and all that. But these are men who are totally dedicated to God. And they've not been distracted during the tribulation period. During the tribulation period is going to be a difficult time as it is. Imagine having a wife and children during the tribulation period and having to care for them and trying to protect them. And if you're a believer, and trying to feed them and clothe them somehow during all this rough time, it'd be tough. But these guys don't have, quote unquote, family and wives to take care of. It's just them and the Lord. Remember Paul, the Apostle Paul, talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, I think it is, about marriage. It was a great chapter on marriage and divorce, and asked Paul these awesome questions. As a matter of fact, when you study the book of 1 Corinthians, there are about 11 or 12 questions that the church at Corinth asked the Apostle Paul. And each time Paul would say, "Now concerning where you have wrote," or concerning this, because they asked Paul some questions. And one of the questions was, "Paul, what about my wife or husband who they're an unbeliever? And they, you know, what do we do? We're saved and they're a believer. Do we just get rid of them?" And Paul said, "Well, now concerning these things, whereof you wrote me," and included in there in chapter number 7, he talks about virgins. He said, "Now if you're unmarried," or go a little farther, boy, that's a whole nother study. Or even if you're divorced and you're gone from a wife, don't remarry. If you do, as unto the Lord. But he says, in this present moment, if you're not married, because of the tribulation, the persecution that's come upon us, I would highly recommend you stay single. You're like me. Paul was single. That's a whole nother story, I believe. Let me throw this. I'm going to get real controversial this morning since we're talking about these virgins. I believe Paul was a married man. Not only is Paul a married man, he had children.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.